Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And welcome to Kurt's Angle Podcast, the first ever episode here on the Chairshot Radio Network. My name is Kurt Johansson, and I've just got to say before we go into this episode how thrilled I am to be joining the Chairshot Radio Network family. I'm really excited to be bringing my content to the Chairshot, and what better way to make my debut other than this interview that I have right here with somebody that I've got to know over the last couple of years through wrestling. Absolute great guy and one of the very best here in Europe. He's appeared on WWE TV with NXT. He's had WWE matches. He's been on World of Sport. He was one of the main feuds here in the UK on ITV on weekly television. And yeah, simply put, he's one of the best here in the UK. So here comes my interview with the professional, Nathan Cruz.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Kurt's Angle. It's Kurt Johansson, and today got a very special guest, first Progress champion, first two-time Progress tag champion, three-time NGW champion, and the current BWR tag team champion. I'll say the professional, Nathan Cruz. Nathan, thanks for coming on, mate.
Thanks for having me back on, Kurt. I enjoyed our last chat. So, yeah, looking forward to doing another one of you.
Yeah, no, that was one of my favourite interviews, and it was just a shame with the network just scrapping everything. So, as people are listening to this, you'll be able to find it on the Ringsiders feed. I'm going to get that re-released, and because we spoke a lot about some good stuff about your career and things like that, but today we're just going to focus on a little bit more that we didn't touch upon then, and then things that are currently ongoing.
Yeah, okay, and cool.
I thought I'd rock out an old school t-shirt for you as well.
The bromance t-shirt. Hey, do you know what? That is the worst piece of merchandise, the worst selling piece of merchandise that I've ever had. I'm sat in my garden right now. Like, do you know what? This isolation isn't so bad when days are like this. Like, it's absolutely beautiful. Like, we've got about 15 Celsius. I've got the pond kind of coming into season now, so it's clearing up nicely. But yeah, in my garage, to get to the point, just in there is like a box full of unsold bromance t-shirts. Just did not do too well with them ones. I think it's because obviously...
You think it's the colour?
It might be the colour. I mean, the idea that we was going for with them was just like, lads who were going on stag do's, who were just like, everybody knows somebody who's got a bromance, right? So just get them one of them. But it didn't go down. I mean, the TV show did not really... It didn't do as well as we was all hoping, I guess, after the, you know, due to the editing. And then and then just shortly after that, I guess, like, they broke us up pretty early, right? So
yeah,
we want, like, me and Adam could, like, continue plugging the t-shirts online for that many weeks. But yeah, it is what it is. But I appreciate you still having that one. I've got mine still.
I believe you.
Me and Adam might be the only people who own them.
I think you gave me this one with one of your most recent shirts, and you was like, look, mate, you can have one of these as well, rock it out.
That was it. I was giving, like, if you pre-ordered one of the newer t-shirt, the professional tee, I was giving like a free gift away, and it was either a signed picture or a t-shirt, so I gave you the option, you chose the bromance t-shirt.
Yeah, I didn't need a signed picture of you on my wall.
Yeah, there we go.
To be fair, I don't think we spoke that much about, like, the World of Sports stuff like you did. So obviously with somebody that's been involved in acting, like, that's what you studied in school, college, what was that experience being like? Because it wasn't a traditional wrestling show, it was in the studio, it was block tapings with ITV. What was the whole like filming of that like for you?
Do you know what? Like, it was, I was fortunate that I'd done that NXT taping in Full Sail in 2016 because it was very similar in that style, and also WAW, where obviously it's filmed in that exact same building. They'd also set out in the same type of thing, so it was very similar to that, because they were listening a lot, thankfully, to like people like Alex Shane, who know wrestling, yeah, at least. So that made it a lot less stressful for us, but it certainly didn't make it any less exhausting. There were long days. The food was terrible. Like, I've not ever spoken about like how buried them, but like, if you're catering to professional wrestlers, like, or athletes in general, cater to athletes. It was absolutely
cheese triangles. Well,
that would have been a bonus. We had sandwiches. We had literally, that is all we had, one meal a day given to us, and it was sandwiches. And you sat there looking around at all these. I mean, I think I lost about 4 pounds the week that we was filming that. That's, and I was saying that for a pop or a joke. Like, that's actually legit. Like, we was all just wasting down. Like, on the evening, we were scoffing our faces, and breakfast we got looked after well at the hotel. But yeah, the catering during the show while we're filming the show, and those was like 6-7 hour days, 8 hour days. You're getting that one sandwich. It's terrible.
Now, you, from the last chat, like, you obviously much preferred the tour for World of Sport, would you say?
Oh, the tour was fantastic. Like, I can't say enough good things about the tour. I got that Blackpool show in particular, I think, is arguably the best show I've ever been on in my life. Yeah. It was an incredible experience. Walking out there, that sellout crowd, it was huge. Production was brilliant. Me and Adam tore it up with that ladder match again. Almost died that night. The ladder imploded on us both while I was fighting on top of it. But it was just amazing. It was such a good night. And that tour, I kind of got to know people who I didn't really have the opportunity to spend time with on the road before. People like Will. And it was just good. It was a real good experience. And I had a lot of my friends there who were, mean a lot to me in this job. People like Robbie X, who was, Robbie's one of my closest friends in pro wrestling, Kip as well, Kip Sabian. And obviously, I can say it now, but Adam's, one of my best friends. And it was just this, sharing that experience together, Rampage as well, someone who I'll always credit as being the best mentor I've ever had. He's like a big brother to me. And getting to see him main event there with Justin and do the incredible things he did and just spend that time together. Yeah, it was really cool. Really, really cool.
Do you think it could come back? Because obviously, back on, I think it was the 1st of February, they just did the World of Sport like entrance on Twitter, just putting dots out there. And then since then, they've done like a few more different like pictures and throwbacks and stuff like that. Is that just somebody bored at home on Twitter, or do you think something could come out of that? Or you're not allowed to tell me.
If I knew, I'd tell you. Speculating, I just think it's a guy trying to keep his job. I don't think they still sell the original series to like countries abroad, so there is still somewhat of like to put out social media content for it is like there's still a demand out there. Let's put it that way. Like, it's still getting broadcast in certain countries, all over the world. So, just because of that, I think that's why the social media content's still going out. But I've not heard anything about a second series. Unfortunately, I'm not optimistic about it. It's a shame because I felt that if the show had been edited correctly, if they'd just listened to the right people instead of letting a guy who didn't know how to edit pro wrestling chop it together, I reckon it would have done really well. I really do, because we had a great, great roster. Everyone was enthusiastic. Everybody was working together for the show, not just selfishly. And it's just a real shame of what happened with the post production of the show.
Well, because that literally was the only criticism to come out of it. It wasn't the match quality, or it was just you'd get into the flow, and then all of a sudden it was just done some crazy camera change, and it's just like disorientated the watchers, and it's like, oh, you've just ruined the impact.
And those other things. I remember on the first episode, I'm such a stickler for making sure in a tag match the legal guys are in without mugging the referee off with their five count. I hate that because I just think if you can't do it by the book, you're not doing. You know, you're not doing it properly. Basically, yeah. you can't do the job right. Okay, so I'm a real big stickler for that. And then there was one bit that we had in that match. I remember a particular hope spot, and they absolutely butchered it on the editing, and it just looked like I came in illegally because they cut a bit out. And there's a big issue of like somebody who doesn't understand wrestling editing this, because they don't understand the importance of keeping that little bit in and maybe chopping out another part, like where I don't know, just like heat or something. But it was just so annoying. It was like, I remember I watched that and I was asked what I thought of it. And I said, well, you butchered our tag match. I gave him my honest feedback on it. I said, like, you know, that stuff's important. And he was like, oh, sorry, yeah, I didn't know that. I'm like, well, yeah, I don't expect you to know that because you're not you don't know pro wrestling, right? But at the same time, that's why they shouldn't have had him edit it. They should have had, you know, one of our guys, or at least who's going to edit, have somebody to turn to, like Alex, to help out in that situation. But, you know, it is what it is. It's useless crying over spilled milk at this stage. I'm very grateful for the opportunity that I got to do it and be a part of it, because good, bad, or indifferent, I think it's going to be remembered as a piece of British wrestling history. And, you know, I can say I was part of that. And, you know, one of the best things that came of it was a lot of people were saying that, you know, the storyline with me and Adam and the matches that we had that unfolded on TV was one of their favourite parts of the show. And, you know, that means a lot to me.
I'm still not over it.
Yeah.
So
you can see us doing more ladder matches at NGW. It seems to be doing them off the strength of the WOS show. They've kept that feud going.
Yeah.
Me and Adam throughout 2019, which was it was good, but good God, if there was one thing that I was sick of in 2019, it was the sight of a ladder.
Which, funnily enough, last time I saw you wrestle, actually, BWR, ladder match.
Yeah, TLC. I didn't realise it was a TLC until like two nights before, so I started thinking of these ideas, this tag team championship main event, and I was getting real excited for it, and I remember speaking to Matty about it, and then I just checked the graphic online for some reason, probably to promote it on Twitter or something. And that's, I just noticed it was TLC. I'd for some reason not noticed that before. And I was like, oh, well, that changes everything. That changes all these ideas. Yeah, in my head again, I'm like, effing ladders again, for God's sake. But no, that was a lot of fun. That was, I enjoyed that. And, you know, I've had such a big part in Cole's initial training. Cole Quinzel and Scotty Rourke is now training at the NGW Academy. Now he has been on and off for a number of years now, but he's been a lot more consistent recently. Obviously, Myers, I think it's well documented now. He's, you know, been my friend since I was seven, and we've been pretty much been like best friends since then. So to do something like that, it's always cool to win the tag titles together. I mean, I remember when we was kids, we booked ourselves as tag champions in our back garden promotion, so to be able to hold an actual tag title together is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. Because first time you holding it with Matt, obviously, you'd have thought you'd have had it already with NGW, but with BWR, like, how long had that been in the works for? Because obviously, the match was originally supposed to be Matt Myers versus Lucas. Lucas had been booked elsewhere. In comes Nathan. Was that always the plan for you and Matt to be holding the belts?
I don't know. To be completely honest with you, I mean, me and BWR have been trying to work on stuff for a while. I think I've done one appearance before against Joe Hendry, and then kind of radio silence for a bit. And there's always, you know, one of the promoters in particular has always been in touch with me saying, no, we do want to do something. We're just figuring out the right thing and how to do it. And I think maybe Matty had a say in this as well. But it was, I honestly have no idea. I think the original plan may have just been for him and Lucas to take the tag titles, I'm guessing. But I don't know for certain. I couldn't, don't quote me on that.
It's good to see though, like last time we spoke last year, He was doing the team sin stuff with Lucas, and it didn't work out just because the dates didn't match with North. Now,
yeah,
1 year on, you're now in BWR. It's second to none, team sin. You're with your best friend. You're with the guy that you're mentoring, the guy that's been in Lucas Steel, the guy that you've been mentored by in Rampage Brown, and Gia Adams. Like, how's that like working as a collective with those three? Obviously, it's only to do with the group forming, but...
Yeah, it's exciting, and like, it's one of them things, like you just said, you just put all those things together. There's a lot of, you know, for me personally, there's a lot of stuff in there that's important to me that I've, you know, Lucas, like I say, someone who I've mentored and kind of helped his, push his career in the correct direction. And, you know, me and Lucas still team as Team Sim. We obviously, one of the shows that we do on the NGW Butlin run is a tag team title show where me and Lucas are the tag team champions as Team Sim. And then this past week we did No Fans Monday, or a couple of weeks ago when this airs, we did No Fans Monday for Wrestle Talk down in London, and me and Lucas was Team Sin there, so I still get to do that. And yeah, and anything that I get to do with Rampage, obviously me and Rampage work as a tag team at NGW, and that's no discredit to Lucas or to Myers or to anyone else who I've teamed with, or Miles, or I also team with, but Rampage is my favourite partner, just because like I still learn from him, and I just think we have a real good dynamic as a tag team. Because you know, he did his stint in FCW that he did. He was working as in a tag team, and then there's bits of knowledge. Obviously, I've really dove into tag team wrestling in the past few years. You know, heavily influenced by Dash, and seeing the success that he's had, and just you know how he's able to make tag wrestling so interesting again. So I've developed a big passion for it, and kind of like my role, I kind of see this now within NGW anyways, is to, like, I've stepped out of the main event picture somewhat now and started focusing on like more mid-card things or whatever, and tag wrestling has been something where I've been able to really put a focus on, especially on those Butlin shows where they'll put me in that match and I'm there with Robbie, who I know I can trust, and then we'll have like maybe two other guys or a young lad, like we had Amir Jordan in that match quite regular with me, Sid Scala and Robbie for a while. And so it'd be like me and Sid Scala against Robbie and Mia Jordan. And again, just able to really pass that knowledge on to them, and also figure out stuff for myself that I'm kind of picking up as I go. And I'm, you know, asking Dash questions, or I'm researching and tape studying things that I'm like, okay, so why does that work? And, you know, just kind of figuring it out as we go. Yeah. And I'm really enjoying it. Like, I tag wrestling is something that I've always had a bit of an interest in. I used to do something with Colossus Kennedy years ago, where we worked as a team, but I just don't think I certainly didn't have the knowledge back then that I have now, that I've picked up over the last few years about tag team wrestling. And I just think that when it's done correctly, like, it can be so good, it can be so entertaining, and create so much drama. You're instantly given a gimmick when you're given a tag match. It's something that's so different to the show, to the rest of the show. So I always try and make sure there is a tag team match, and you'll see things in this match that you can't see in a singles match necessarily. Yeah. So, I'm really enjoying that at the moment. Really am.
Good. What was your thoughts on No Fans Monday then? Obviously, it was supposed to be Battle of Brit Rest, which was a nightmare because I did a preview on that just to where a couple of days before gets cancelled. I'm like, well, do I still release it? No Fans Monday gets announced. I'm like, fuck's sake, I just got to re-record. And then just did a preview for a whole new show, which is practically the same thing. But for yourself, like, how was that all? Because it was within a couple of days, wasn't it? All set up.
It was, yeah. I saw Will's tweet about like possibly doing something while he was on his flight back from Japan, and I think I just replied with a gif of like me with a suitcase running around, and he instantly inboxed me and was like, "Do you want in? Because you know, we'd like to have you on." I was like, "Well, yeah, absolutely, of course I would." And it kind of just snowballed from there. And again, like, just as I mentioned, that I was very proud to be part of the WOS show and say that it's going to be part of British wrestling history. I think this is, you know, like, I think people are going to look back at this. I mean, people are going to look back at this point in history regardless, like, yeah, this point in British history, well, global, I think they're going to remember 2020 as the year that the world went on pause. And so there was obviously, and every aspect of working life has been affected by this in a different way. And I think obviously when you're looking at a British wrestling history book in years to come, that'll be, well, how did British wrestling survive during COVID-19? And they'll turn to that show. And I'm, you know, proud to say I was a part of that. And, you know, it was good to give something for the fans, but also I hope they understand that we're financially struggling at the moment. You know, we're worried. Being self-employed, there hasn't really been that much assistance given to us, particularly in the entertainment industry. So to do something that's going to raise money, not just for myself, but for my colleagues and peers and people that I, you know, respect and love to work with. And a big shout out to Will. Will was coming back from Japan and had every right to just say, I'll just chill. You know, like, he could have well and truly just put his feet up and relaxed and taken this time to just kind of focus on himself and heal up. But he didn't. He wanted to give something back to all of us. And it's just a credit to him as an individual and how much he's, you know, he's matured over the years. Big shout out to Wrestle Talk to help make that happen. Ollie Davis and Alex Shane, those guys, and apologies if I'm missing anyone out there, but like those guys coming on board and just helping get us that production and, you know, doing this as a working thing together. It was a really, really cool thing. Like I said, I'm so proud that I was a part of it and yeah, really enjoyed it.
No, brilliant. Like, it raised so much money for you guys just from the YouTube donations. I think, what was the total at the end? Over 10,000, was it?
It was something like that, yeah. But like, obviously, there's a lot of there was things that we had to pick, like venue hire and travel to London. I mean, I don't know if you saw, but for us to park in London cost £45 for the day.
Yeah,
£45, and then they've got the nerve to charge you an extra £15 to just drive through the bastard. Yeah, I just. Because it's not like we don't. I just hate London. I hate London in general. I'm sorry if anybody's listening here who's from that city, but I just, why are you charging us extra to drive through there? It's a shithole, and we pay our road tax as it is. It's an awful, awful city, and it's so overpriced. They just want to, everything's just grabbing money from you at every given aspect. So yeah, just little things like you have to take that into account, and then we obviously divide the money. Yeah, well, Ollie Davis actually was in charge of that and divided the money equally. I'm not going to reveal what we each got,
but no.
You know, we got a good little cut, and you know, it's money that we wouldn't have got otherwise. And you know, I was, you know, for a one day payoff as well, as you know, if this was just a one off show, and I was still working regularly, I'd have been really happy with the money that I got for that one show. So, no, yeah, it was you know, it's helping us out in a time where we need it.
Yeah. When you're just ranting about London, all I can remember is when we drove to for London from Hull for Brixton, and it was your big 8-man tag match.
Yeah.
And all the way, because I think that's the first time I've ever drove to London with you. I've done like Manchester and Norwich and stuff like that, and all the way, it's fucking hate London. Nathan, London's not that bad. As soon as you get in, fucking hell, London, nobody knows how to drive.
same thing happened when we got there. So we literally must have been in London about 10 minutes. And I was actually ranting about something else in the car at the time, a little pet peeve of mine that people do online. And just with that, this woman in this car, she missed a turning. So she just slams on her brakes, this old woman, tries reversing. And then turning in, and she realised she can't do it, so she starts reversing, like, back across, like, three lanes. We're all, everyone's beeping. Like, what the? Like, I was driving back to Lucas was. I was saying, like, this is London, it's an absolute nightmare. That Brixton show, funnily enough, I remember after the show I went and got paid by John Briley, and just asked if everything was okay, and I said, yeah, mate, but in the future, I'm not driving in London anymore. Can I go back to trains, please? Like, I can't do it. I cannot do it anymore. I understand why people take the tube so much in London, because it's just pointless trying to drive around that place. It's just an absolute nightmare. Absolute nightmare. But yeah, we're not here to bury London. I could do that all day. Such a Yorkshire lad.
Yeah. Nah, I know it. It was on, I think, the journey back, and was all flagging and sticking heads out windows to keep ourselves awake. And you was like, let's play the, I think it was Wrestler in a Box or something like that. And at this point, I'd never heard of it. Oh. And you was like, ah, none of you are going to get this one. And I think it was in two guesses, I guess, Big Boss Man. And you was like, what the fuck? He was absolutely raging, yeah. All smug, like, nobody's getting this one. So, obviously, with No Fans Monday, it was supposed to be Battle of Brit Rest, where WrestleTalk are going to be doing some of their own shows, big showcases involving so many different companies around the UK, NGW, Frontline, Soul, WrestleGate. How does that feel for you, knowing once the madness all settles down, WrestleTalk with the reach as well, like this No Fans Monday, 171,000 views it's got on YouTube so far. Mm. So with WrestleTalk and their pull now doing shows and airing on Fight Network as well on television, what's your thoughts on that, going not only doing a TV product but working with so many different companies?
I mean, well, for one, I'm excited. Two, I'm just, again, grateful for that opportunity to be a part of that company. They're taking great care of me since my WE contract didn't work out for me in 2017. And I've always been very proud to be a part of NGW and of all its affiliate companies and stuff like that. Going forward with this, I mean, I remember when that was getting announced, like, I was pretty excited already. The only thing I wasn't excited about was going to London. I think it's a great opportunity for so many people and what it could, because I think a lot of those promotions sometimes get overlooked, and there's a lot of good talent on there. There's a hell of a lot of good talent coming through. Like I say, Rampage is a staple of most of them, and I think you could ask 9 out of 10 British wrestlers who they consider to be the best in British wrestling, and also Rampage Brown.
He's the best in Europe. Dean Ormar.
Yeah, well, you'll get no argument from me. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the world. Dean Ormark, who I hold in equal esteem, is a part of those WrestleGate shows. NGW, I've been a part of since its inception, so I could talk about the talent there for as long as Robbie X, so I in the last couple of years in particular, I just think has come into his own, and he's so effortlessly good. He reminds me a lot of James Mason, who's, again, one of the best that's this ever come out of this country. And Robbie's like our modern version of James, in my opinion. Like, he's just so, so talented, and he's so effortless and smooth with everything he does. You have people like Adam coming through, who's, Adam's probably the hardest worker I know. He's constantly perfecting himself and bettering himself. We've had people come through who have gone on to better things. Gabriel Kidd, who's now gone on to New Japan. He was working with us, Kip Sabian. So you got all this talent that's in and around Miles. I don't want to overlook Miles because I think he's got a huge future ahead of him. You've got all this talent around it, young, old, and, people who are just kind of in the middle, people like myself would be, been around a while, but still got a while kicking in them still. At least I'd like to think so. And I think it's a great opportunity for a lot of eyes and a lot of the right eyes, to see that. I've been quite open about this in the past, that I, there's one thing left on my wrestling bucket list, and that's to wrestle in Japan. So, I'm hoping that that's going to hopefully lead to that opportunity. I've also very much got my eyes set on AEW. I think last time we spoke about this, AEW was just kind of launching. It was just kind of seamless. We was just kind of at a point where I was like, well, I hope it does well, and we'll see where it goes. But for right now, at that time, I was just kind of like floating around within wrestling. I was just enjoying it, just because I'd spent so many years geared towards WWE, and then I had everything happen there that I was just, I went through a spat of depression with that, and then it was just like kind of a case of reassessing everything and just kind of enjoying where I was. But then I didn't have that, there was something missing, they want that ambition or goal to drive for anymore. It was just kind of, I'll just keep doing this because it's kind of cool. And it is, and don't get me wrong, I don't mean I'm not enjoying it anymore, but it's good that I've seen how well that's done, and I want it to continue to do well, but now I'm like, you know what, I should be a part of this, and I really want to, because for me, like, it's almost like I'm looking at this as well from an aspect of myself, like growing up and people I've been influenced by. I remember, like, a lot of people used to say this, especially around 2010, that I reminded them of a young Chris Jericho. In fact, there was a Fighting Spirit magazine once wrote an article on me, and they said it's like the UK's answer to Chris Jericho. And I remember thinking that was like the biggest compliment. I've been heavily influenced by people like Dean Malenko, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, all these people that are there that I can learn from. Because this is it for me as well. Like, I don't just want to go there and be like, okay, this is what I can offer. Like, well, what can I offer to them, and then what can they offer to me to help me become a better performer and a better, you know, polished professional wrestler. Dustin Rhodes, who's there, you know, I think he's one of the best storytellers in history. There's so many people that I could go there and learn from and better myself. And WrestleTalk is kind of giving us all that opportunity to show that the British scene is doing very well, and that you can still come here, make a great living. You can learn a lot. And also gives us the opportunity for those major companies around the world with some, you know, some big money kicking around to be able either to, you know, work out a working partnership or even invest in some of the talent individually. So yeah, the possibilities are endless. I think what it comes down to is self-belief and hard work. But I think that's why we've got to the point where we are within British wrestling, is that we always believed that we were the best in the world, and it was just a case of getting the eyes on us. And you know, that boom started happening in 2012. It's been going ever since, and I think this is just another one of those things that's going to keep that boom going and keep that interest there.
No, 100%. Like, it's something I wanted to discuss a little bit later, but you kind of led into it already with NXT UK. They signed a lot of what some regarded as some of the top talent in the UK, or those that are coming through. And the term Brit Rest is dead gets thrown around quite a lot. So I ended up launching my own little show, Brit Rest Isn't Dead, which I had once, and then coronavirus hit and every show stopped running. So I'm like, I don't know if I could use that title right now. Yeah, something like Brit Rest is on hold, maybe. What's your thoughts on that term, like Brit Rest is dead?
I hate it. I think it's so ignorant, stupid, disrespectful. I could go on, a, you know, there's a bunch of adjectives, negative adjectives that I could use for that, and I just think it's not true, is it? You just look around. I think you're discrediting the work of people like Rampage, of people like Dean Allmark, myself, you know, so many others who have been around for so long. You know, and I'm not saying I've been around for a long time. I've only been in it, I'm approaching 14 years. There's so many people that have been doing this and continue to do it. And then that's not to, you know, overlook the young talent coming through. You know, like people like Miles Kamen, for example, who I just think they've got so much potential, so much ahead of them. You know, anyone who I've previously mentioned on this interview so far, who are all flying the flag for British wrestling and doing really well with it. And to say British wrestling is dead, it's a very ignorant term, and it really annoys me. It really annoys me. I mean, I know it annoys a lot of us. And I just think if you are truly a fan of this, just kind of understand what you're saying with that. You know, that'd be my message to you, that you're just disregarding. You know, you tell me that I should just go hang up my boots, go get a normal 9-to-5. It's absolutely disrespectful. So, yeah, that's where my stance is on that.
Nah, like, obviously some companies closed, but I don't think that for them to just shut overnight, there must have been underlying trouble anywhere. They must have been struggling financially. But BWR, for example, they ended up selling out their Memorial Hall, and it's like people are saying Brit Rest is dead, but they're selling out. So many places are improving, and hell, you raised over £10,000 in a No Fans Monday show. That screams volumes that British wrestling isn't dead.
Yeah, exactly. NGW, the whole City Hall, they've sold that out numerous times since NXT UK began. And they still do, you know, the lowest numbers I've seen NJW draw to Hull City Hall show is about 700.
Yeah.
I mean, you tell me that 700. Like, I remember when I started in 2006, you know, if we got 40, 50 people in, we were excited. You know, you might add an extra couple things to your match there. So that was where, and we weren't considering it was dead then. It was just struggling. So to say that it's dead now with the houses that so many people are still drawing, and you know, the hard work that so many promotions are putting in to kind of like keep things going forward in all different areas of the country as well. You know, like I say, got great things going on in Newcastle with North Wrestling, NGW flying the flag for Yorkshire, and obviously doing the Butlins Camp shows. All Stars still very much busy. I've been doing a lot more work for Brian recently, which is part of his 50th anniversary tour, which has meant a hell of a lot to me to go back to work for him. And the draws I've seen him get at some of those towns, you know. And I quickly want to mention a wrestler called Niwa. If you haven't seen this lad, check him out. He's incredible. Like, I've been very fortunate enough to work with him a couple of times on those All-Star shows. Hell of a good talent. And, you know, we've been having some, you know, we'd tore into each other a couple of times at those shows. It's been brilliant. But we, you know, we're going out and putting out a performance like that because the draws so well. So there's two lads I know. He might not be from Britain, but he's working over here. He's working hard. You know, British wrestling's far from dead. Far from dead.
You mentioned All-Star and the 50-year anniversary. Am I right in thinking it was around their 40th year anniversary you started working for them?
That's correct, yeah, 2010 was when they took me on.
So how does it feel? Obviously, you mentioned NGW doing the Butlin camps, but All-Star was that they were everywhere. You had all the best wrestlers from all around the world wanting to come to that. So to have been a part of that history for like 10 years and then obviously recently facing Joel Redmond, try and put that into words to be such part of All-Star history for the past 10 years.
I don't think I could ever put it into words. When I was a kid, I used to watch All-Star at Hull City Hall, and it was always my ambition to work for them, because I remember getting the programme that had a list of events on the back, and I knew that if I was ever to going to become a professional wrestler, this is where I needed to be in the UK, because there was such a volume of work. And, you know, to get that opportunity at 19 was huge. And, you know, to not have to... I think I was working at a call centre at the time, to be able to quit there and then go into pro wrestling as my full-time job was outstanding. And, you know, just... I like I say, the people that I met on the roads there, learning from them and getting the opportunity to work with. I mean, you know, Dash I mentioned quite often, but he's my best friend, man. And I met him through All-Star. John Schuyler, someone else who I think the world of from America, and a real good friend of mine. Again, met through All-Star. We've had a great friendship since and a good working relationship. You know, he comes over and works with us at NGW. I go over and work with a promotion that he helps out with called PWX in North Carolina. And it's really cool that like that all came from All-Star. And the people who have gone through the doors over the years at All-Star Wrestling, you know, Daniel Bryan, it's probably your biggest name that you'd go to. But then you've got Sheamus, you've got Drew, who's about to headline WrestleMania. And, you know, he started with Bryan. It's one of those things. And when people say that they think that, you know, oh, All-Star, it's this, it's that. I hate that. I hate it so much. Just because do you know? When was the last time you checked it out? Do you know what I mean? Like, are you just going off this off here, sir? Or just because it's presented as a big-time American wrestling because it's an easy way to sell to families? Is that what you're judging it by? Because if you actually go and check out the talent there, you'll see that you've got some, you know, some really good talent there. There's a reason William Regal was, you know, harping on for years, still does. You need to go and learn there. There's a reason that Robbie Brookside spent years working there. There's a reason why James Mason still works there. It's you know, I can't credit All-Star Wrestling enough for my career, but there's so many other people that came through there, Rampage. You know, I could just go on forever about how proud I am to say I'm a part of that history.
100%. You mentioned PWX. So you've been to North Carolina two or three times now, haven't you? You've been going over there, I think, more recently... this year against Harlem Bravado. how was all that experience of going back to America and knowing this company keeps bringing you back out on quite a regular basis now?
Yeah, I'm in Harlem, Bavada, there's somewhere else I met from All Star, and I love PWX. PWX is it reminds me very much of NGW, even down to its colour scheme, but it's just, they do stories so well, you know what I mean? Like, they're really, and their fan base is very much invested and know those characters well. I was shocked to see how many fans remembered me this year from, like, my time there last year. That it just kind of, it tells you what type of fan base that they've developed there, and that all comes down to the hard work of everyone there, from Skylar to Brian and Patrick who run the promotion. Like, it's I'm just flattered to be able to go in there and work with some of the younger talent as well. Like, night one I got to work with Alan Bravado, and again, like, I've known him for a number of years, met him with Brian, and then the next night I was in a Fatal 4-Way with, you know, some of the younger lads there, and it was just so cool because, you know, they I remember after the match there was, you know, they were very thankful to me for helping them, like, kind of piece this together or whatever and put on the match that we did. But they it was, you know, just they're very respectful. The fans are great. The promotion's fantastic. I just, yeah, can't say enough good things about PWX. I'm honoured and touched that they have me back as regular as they do. It always becomes a working vacation for me. I'll always fly out like a week or two early and go spend some time with Dash and John and just get to hang out with my mates, see America, which, you know, I love that country and I very much believe that I'm probably going to move there. You know, and this last trip was amazing. Like, Kip now lives there, so I got to hang out with Kip, Jimmy Havoc, Marty, Scarlord. God, I haven't seen Scale in years, pretty much since he signed with ROH. Rockstar, Spud, Drake Maverick, whatever. Like, it was just awesome. Like, we all just got to hang out again and I had the best time. And again, that's because PWX threw a few dates my way. And so, yeah, I'm very grateful to them. And my only regret is that I don't get to go over there more frequently and do more with them. Like, I'd love to be able to go over and, like, you know, build a storyline with one of their talents or something and do something a bit more long lasting. But obviously I've got commitments back home that I've got to honour, so it's not something that we can do. And they can't afford the budget to be flying me out on a monthly basis.
Yeah. Just stay out there for a few months, like, go live with Dash and Kip for a bit, I'm sure they won't mind. Like, you've got enough people out there.
I'm sure I do, but I don't know if my fiance would be too happy about that.
She might like the peace and quiet.
I just need to get my phone charger. My chat, yeah, my battery's about to drop down, and I don't want to cut us out before we've had a chance to finish the interview.
Right, whilst you're in your house, then. I was going to mention your games room, your toy room.
My toy room, yeah.
Tell everybody about that, because you've got a series coming.
Yeah, so I think by the time this goes up, episode one should have already aired. A few weeks ago, like, I put a picture up of a couple of the toys that are in my collection, and somebody made a point of saying, oh, it'd be cool if you could do, like, a video series, much like you did with your Christmas decorating, like showing us inside your toy room. So sounds like a pretty good idea. Gives me something to do whilst I'm kind of away from wrestling at the moment with everything that's going on with the corona. And so I thought, yeah, all right, I give it a go. And the first episode's the Small Soldiers episode, and filmed it, kind of felt like pretty good about it. But then what was even better was, you know, one of my very good friends, again, a childhood best friend of mine, Andy Dye, who's a tremendous video editor. He pieced it together and sent me, like, the draft of it. And I said, God, this looks outstanding, mate. It's better than I could have ever hoped. So, yeah, hopefully you're all enjoying it. We've got 8 episodes lined up covering, like I said, Small Soldiers is the first episode. Second one's Batman the Animated Series. I think then it's X-Men, followed by Spider-Man. We go into Batman and Robin 97. There's a Godzilla episode. There's a wrestling figure episode, even though I don't have wrestling figures in my toy room, which I kind of explain on the video. But yeah, I mean, toy collecting is like something I'm really interested in. It's like my hobby away from wrestling, as well as gardening. I'm actually now sat in my tiki bar here in my garden that I built myself. But yeah, like it's, yeah, I just, toy collecting is like, I don't know what it is about it, why I enjoy it so much. I love it. And it's something that I'm quite passionate about. And yeah, I'm quite excited about this series, so you can check it out. I've got two YouTube channels. I've got one that's kind of like my wrestling channel, and it's called, the other channel's called Cruise Off Road, and this is the one where I've got like the Christmas decorating, and I'm going to have these new toy lands, TV, this new toy series, toy collecting series. So we'll see how it goes. If it goes well, like I want to do more of them and, you know, keep it going, because I've got a lot of toys to talk about, whether I've got them in my collection already or it's just stuff that I eventually want to get. But yeah, it's... yeah, I'm really enjoying it. But yeah, I should have. Yeah, I could have gone in and been doing you a quick tour. But I've put the phone charger here in my tiki bar, which is, so in the summer I like to have like barbecue parties out here, just by on the deck next to my pond, and stick the fire pit on and the barbecue. And then I've got this little, I think this is just the cushions to the chair there, but I've got a little beer fridge there. I've got a 1990s Walls ice cream freezer. Like, it's pretty cool in here. I love it.
Are you trying to get a job landscaping?
I'm a creative person, let's put it that way. So I'm like, this is it needs. I've just done a few repairs. The roof needed doing. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I was up on the roof, waterproofing it, and my foot came through it, crawling through into here. It was an absolute disaster. So I had to patch that up and replace some of the lights and stuff. It's a bit. It's hard work, but it's hard work that I enjoy doing. Same as the pond. And again, it's just my release from wrestling. And the same thing with the toy room, to be honest, like with the times, like, don't get me wrong, I love wrestling. It's been my passion since I was a kid, and it still is to this day. But sometimes you need that escape, you need that release from it. And, you know, this is, I can take my mind off it and just chill out here, or I can take my mind off and go grab a comic book from my toy room, sit in there and read or look at the toy collection and, you know, go back to when I was a kid and everything seemed a lot simpler. I didn't have financial worries. I didn't have a global pandemic concern about.
Whilst we're off the topic of wrestling then, so how are you keeping yourself occupied during this lockdown then? Disney Plus?
What I've just said. Well, Disney Plus is pretty good. Yeah, so Disney Plus, we're filming this on the 25th. So we got Disney Plus yesterday. I mean, it's amazing. I've put together a little morning schedule of cartoons, because I mean, I did own a lot of things on DVD, but like, yeah, now I've got Disney Plus. It's just there. I don't have to mess around with swapping discs over or anything. I can literally go X-Men, Spider-Man, Hulk, and I switch over to Amazon Prime and get a morning episode of Baywatch, because I love rewatching Baywatch. But yeah, I've been doing workouts in my garden. I put one up the other day just to kind of help out people. And me and Rich Dunn, who's the promoter of NJW, have kind of started collaborating on an idea for me to do like at-home wrestlers workouts, just kind of keep you, you know, like ring conditioning things that you can do without a wrestling ring. So yeah, that, filming in the toy room, editing that. I've got a video chronicle of my wrestling career. I'm helping edit. It's with Andy Dye. It's just a nightmare editing it at the moment, because he works as a truck driver, so he's also classed as a key worker, so he's still busy, and we can't actually meet up to edit it. We have to just do it over call or text and stuff. So yeah, that's proven difficult, but you know, keeping busy with that, and you know, doing my garden and stuff like that, spending time with the missus, just to be honest, like, it isn't the worst thing. I do miss the freedom of just, you know, if I need something for the garden, for example, just being able to nip to a garden centre or B&Q or something like that and pick it up, and then I can crack on with it as well. I don't have that luxury now. I'm isolated along with the rest of the country. But yeah, my main thing is I just want to see myself and my family get out of this at the other side, all healthy. I was supposed to get married this year in Jamaica. In July. I don't know if I don't know if that's happening now. Yeah. is to be honest with you, just because of this. we'll see. We'll see what happens. I might have to push it back to next year. She might get fed up with me after the isolation and just kick me out. So who knows? But yeah, I don't know. I'm taking all this with me.
Yeah, we might have to be roommates. I'm isolating my man as well, and I don't know how we're going to cope with that. Yeah, 1 year on, we're both supposed to be married, and instead we just got a toy house. It'll be great.
There you go. Yeah.
Now, hopefully all that plays out. Like, obviously, we don't know how long this is going to go on for. If idiots keep going out, that's not going to help. Like, luckily... Yeah. I'm here in Hull, well, just outside of Hull for our wedding in August. But again, we don't know if we're going to be able to have that or if it's going to be literally five people. And that's a big budget for five people. Well. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's the planning. Like, you don't know, do I plan? Do I buy this stuff? Don't I buy this stuff? Like, it just throws such a spanner in the works and you don't know what to do with it. It's, you know, uncertain times.
No, 100%. So, moving back to wrestling. I want to talk about Martin Kirby. He obviously recently announced, out of nowhere, may I add, like, he'd just been over in Japan with Dragon Gate, did a tweet saying he's looking forward to going back out there. A couple of days later, announced his retirement. Like, what's your thoughts on Martin Kirby's career and, like, the UK losing somebody as good as Martin?
I've always credited Kirby as being one of the most diverse wrestlers. To me, the key to success in pro wrestling, long-term success, is to be diverse. Don't just be an act. If you get one thing, then you pigeonholed, and when that expires, what else are you going to do? You know, Kirby's always been one of those guys that's been very good at being able to do anything. And I've been very fortunate enough to work with him in different incarnations of that role of him as well, whether he's been the bad guy, good guy, comedy guy, you know. And I've the main takeaway I've always had with Kirby is I've always enjoyed watching him as well, both as a wrestler, and I love spending the time on the road with him. I understand his decision, because, you know, there's been times that I've really heavily contemplated it myself as well. There was a situation that kind of came up at the end of last year where I was like, I think this might be me now. I think, you know, I was heavily contemplating leaving wrestling due to a couple of things that had happened. Now, those circumstances changed, thankfully, but at the time I was thinking, I think this is me done, just because it was becoming too much. And, you know, when this starts becoming, you have to love this to be able to do it, because when you're having to commit to the lifestyle that comes along with it of, you know, training and eating right and all the other things, and then just, you know, getting in late. And I always known that Kirby, alongside wrestling, has always, you know, done a second job. And I know, like, I've sometimes been on road trips with him, whether I've dropped him off or we've got back to his and I've jumped back in my car, like 3 a.m, and he's got to be up at 6 to go to work. And he's kept that up for a long time. He really has, like 14 years is of doing what he's done and putting his body through it. And I understand and respect his decision. I'm just very grateful that I got to spend that time with him and learn from him. He'll be sorely missed by a lot of us. But yeah, like, it is what it is, man. Like, people can't do this forever mentally. I think, like, it is a case of sometimes you mentally get broken down before your body does. And I think Kirby's made the decision to, you know, get out whilst both those things are still intact, before, you know, it affects his mental health in a negative way, or, you know, worst case, he gets, you know, injured as well. So, yeah, it will be missed.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to, like, the future and things like that. One new company that's actually set up in Hull, it's kind of under that umbrella with, like, NGW and wrestling agency, Wrestleverse. Like, this company, it's nothing like I've seen anywhere, to be honest. It's such good fun. The fact that you're fighting and competing for a sword is going to be interesting. talk about Wrestleverse, because you get to play, you're like the Don. It's as if you're the godfather of Wrestleverse. Like, yeah. How do you feel, like, especially working on those shows in Hull when normally you're at NGW?
Yeah, I mean, when we first heard the concept of it, I thought it was interesting. but I did definitely have my reservations about it, its success or how, where it might go. And I mean, we're only two shows deep now, and but it seems to be picking up a bit of attraction and interest. It was cool. I liked the idea that we got to do different characters and stuff like that. I mean, North was where we'd originally started doing the outfit, but because of one, you know, a couple of booking decisions and whatever, and dates not lining up, we want something that was able to go through with. Rich, you know, when he first pitched WrestleVerse, he said, "I really want the outfit. I think it's got a lot of potential." And which I was actually at first kind of like, I was questioning. I was like, it's so, like, the outfit became a thing because I kind of saw it was so close to Nathan Cruz, the character already. Mm-hmm. That I was like, am I just going to look like I'm one-dimensional here, that I can't do anything? And as you mentioned at the top of this interview, like, I've got an acting background in both training in higher education and going into theatre slightly and doing some extra work in my early 20s. But, like, it just, yeah, at first I was kind of doubtful about it. Like, I was trying to even think of other characters that I might potentially do. But I knew that that might then have a negative on Lucas and Miles. Like, I didn't want to leave them in the shit. So, yeah, like, we got to, and I at least kind of got to show that side of me, like, my real personality almost, in that little video we did before, where we all get sucked into the portal.
Where it's grabbed, like, your ass.
Yeah, it's grabbed my ass. Like, just that, things like that I got to be able to do. And, like, yeah, and since then, like, I've had a lot of people come up to me and, like, and say that, you know, seeing me do the capo is, like, their favourite version of me wrestling, which, yeah. I was, you know, really, like, to see it as being much more aggressive and, you know, different thing that I'm doing. And, like, I'm enjoying it, and the ideas that I'm getting from it and coming up, it's allowing me to be a lot more creative again and stuff like that. And Jed, getting to work with Jed, who was a local comedian here in Hull, I love Jed. I think he's a class comedian for one thing. I love his enthusiasm for wrestling, and, like, I love him being a part of it. Like, I really do. Like, I think he adds something to the show that's,
it fits, you know, the show.
Not like, yeah. It's not like Jim was with Progress, for example. Like, even though Jim's a stand-up comedian as well, like, it's a bit different in you know, Jed's approach to it. And Jed is actually, you know, I did a, like, stand up, something that I've always had kind of somewhat of an interest in as well. And I think it was like a year or two ago now, like, he gave me the opportunity to do that at an open mic night. I did like a stand up, and I was real grateful to him giving me that opportunity. I've actually got something else lined up, another stand up that I actually want to do now, and I need to speak to him about that. But, like, to him then let me into that world, and now see him come into our world, and, you know, well, if you even want to call WrestleVerse our world, it's kind of its own thing. But yeah, WrestleVerse is a lot of fun. Like, it's given us all an opportunity to do something a bit more creative, and, like, I know in particular Rory Coyle absolutely loves it. Like, he really, really loves it. He's so enthusiastic about it. He's coming up with ideas, not just for himself, but for everybody all the time. Like, the last show that we did there, I think he was speaking to everyone about this idea that he'd had for the show, for a Halloween show in the future. And I was like, oh my god, that's sick, I love the idea as well. And, like, it was snowballing. Everybody was then coming in with their little bits of ideas from it, and before we knew it, it was like we had this Halloween show booked within, like, 30 minutes of just everybody chipping in with these ideas. You know, Rich had nothing to do with it. Rich just sat there going, like, guys, like, it's me doing this. We're like, oh no, we've got all this sorted. We, you know, we all kind of put it together. But it's good to see that enthusiasm from everybody. And again, it's given people a good opportunity to be something else and do something else and try out different things. Like, I know for Adam, for example, he said it gives him a good opportunity to try, like, a lot of villain work for himself, because he's predominantly booked as a good guy in this country other than at OTT. So, yeah, which is not Ireland, but it gives him an opportunity to really show a heel persona and stuff like that. And, you know, where even ideas that we'll come up with for Adam with that going forward and stuff, it's kind of cool. Yeah, for real. It's one of them shows that I can't really describe it to you. You just need to check it out. Like, I think it's the closest thing to live theatre meets pro wrestling you could probably find, because there's so much variety on the show and these, you know, the weird, odd characters. But, you know, if you was a big fan of that type of style in the early 90s in WWF, I think you'll kind of like this, because that's basically what this is. It's those outlandish, wild characters. And this is the Wrestleverse.
Oh, it's so good. And hopefully, like the full shows and stuff, get power in its entirety. Hopefully, more people will... It's increasing. I think there's more than double the crowd from the first show, which seemed really good. Yeah. And everybody's been really positive. And it's funny you should talk about your aggressive nature as well. Like, some of the people that I knew that went from my work, they were saying, like, it's just so much better being aggressive. And they said the same thing of you at BWR when you was beating the snot out of Scotty and Cole, preferring that, like, more aggressive persona and not having to hold back your shots as you would with NGW.
Yeah, I mean, I think what has kind of happened there is it's just a character evolution. Like, I'm always looking for ways to evolve that character. I think I said this in the last interview. If you was to hold up a picture of Nathan Cruz from 2009 with the feather boas, the glasses and all this, and then hold them up to Nathan Cruz 2020 or 2019 at the time we did that interview, like the two with the shield and the cape and longer hair, beard, so it looks like two completely different characters. But if you was to follow my career, like, it's been a very slow, gradual transition. And I credit that to the fact that I've been such an Undertaker mark my entire life. You know, he did the same thing, and I always thought that was a very, very smart thing. Like, he kept himself fresh, he kept himself interesting, and a more modern one to go to. And again, I mentioned how much of an influence he's had on my career would be Chris Jericho. He's done a very similar thing. He reinvents himself, but he does it in such a gradual way that you don't necessarily really notice the big change. He does it gradually, and it keeps your interest. And yeah, I think that's something to do. And I just think that's kind of where the character's gone with Nathan Cruz now. Like, I don't need to rely on the flamboyance and stuff that as much anymore, because, you know, I am old. I'm 30 this year, and I've people have been familiar with me for a long time now. That it's enabling me to do something different now and be a bit more aggressive and find this other side of this character.
Well, speaking of your character changes, could there be like a second portal in Wrestleverse, and could we see your character Death come in?
Oh God, no! I'd never do that. There has been talks of, like, what do we do at some point with it? Do we have, like, you know, like, I think I pitched the idea to Rich of having, like, a voice clip of Vinnie Mac doing it, it's time to shake things up again. And, like, the portal start glitching and we all change characters. Like, I think that would be good to do at some point. Like, I think it'd be, once people have seen enough of Chuck Wood and the outfit and Teeny Tiny, all these characters that we've got in there to change it up and see where. But, I mean, that's quite a way away yet. And we might not even do it, but that's just one idea that I had that I thought would be good for us all to then change up our gimmicks a little again and reinvent ourselves and just try something new. It means, you know, starting to think of something of what I might do when that time comes, but, you know, that's exciting, and that's what I love. I love being creative. I've always been a creative person. I think that's why I was drawn to pro wrestling, why I was drawn to entertainment and acting in general. But you know, Wrestleverse is a great opportunity for me to kind of explore that.
You better, if you don't bring back Death, I'm going to be fuming.
I'm not bringing back Death. Death is the backer character. It doesn't suit me, man. It doesn't suit me. I can't. I just don't think anyone would buy into it. I don't think for a second anyone would buy into it. I think it'd be laughed off. I couldn't do it. I don't believe in the character, so that's already failed already. I tell this to my students all the time, like, you have to believe it for them to believe it, otherwise you're dead in the water. And I think that's a I'd just die a death, pun intended.
Even if it's just for like one segment over the YouTube or something, where you're like, I am not being this person, get me back in that portal. It'd just be comedy gold. So speaking of something, like, during your transition, you had the opportunity to work in France quite a lot. I know, like, as we got to know each other over the years, you mentioned some of the surreal stuff, what you'd see yourself on buses and shopping malls and How was that experience? Like, let's talk about France because we didn't last time.
France was a big part of my development, and like I look back at so fondly. 2012 was I had my first opportunity there, November 2012. I think Rampage was the one that actually put me in contact with one of their talents by the name of Jimmy Gavarocci, and he contacted me. They flew me out to Paris, picked me up. We drove 3.5 hours to the town that was wrestling that night. And I met the promoter, Flash Gordon, and the financial backer, Jean-Marie. And it was just, right, okay, let's try and impress. And I had a good match, and they was happy with me. How well I did in my first match would determine whether or not I'd be in the 8-man tag at the end of the show. And they put me in the 8-man tag, so I took that as a good sign and went back. And then in the January, they contacted me again with like a bunch of dates of January, a bunch of dates of February. There was some in February I couldn't do because we had half time over here that I'd already committed to Brian. And then in the March and April, I was out there every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, traveling across France. And, you know, the team they had at that point was really good. Like essentially, Jimmy was there. There was a bunch of good guys and girls that was really on that team that I was like, I enjoyed being around. There's some Belgian guys, Kenzo Richards was one of them. Just enjoyed being around them. Like, they were cool people, and I was learning a different style as well. Like, they're very heavy on kayfabe there, and I was just picking up a different way to put matches together and things like that from Flesh and Prince Zeffy. Those guys have been around since the 60s, I think. They're just, you know, really good people. They took great care of me. The amount of times I remember, like, going out there once, they flew me out there early and took me to Disneyland for 2 days. Like, they took such good care of me. But yeah, and then at the end of 2013, we have this huge show that's like their biggest show of the year, draws around 2,000 people, and the promotion for it's huge. And I got sent this picture where one of the posters had been printed on the back of a bus that was like, just, you know, like, oh, we'd have stagecoach buses here in England, just commercial buses that people are using. And there I am on this poster, about 40 foot tall. I'm like, this is insane. Like, that's a madness. Like, I just couldn't get my head around it. And then that, you know, they flew me out, they took me to this, to do all this promotional work the day before the show. And I had to do it to visit these. There was like a photography shop. There was a really nice suit shop, which they gave me this real nice tie and like tie clip because they knew like I dressed smart or whatever. And they took me to the supermarket. And the supermarket, there's this huge banner with me on. And they have us do this like live weighing. And if you can guess the wrestler's weight, you will get a free ticket to the show. And I mean, there was hundreds of people. It was like a Walmart or something like that, Asda. And there I am. I just couldn't get over it, and like the magnitude of it. And 2013, like I say, was when I was working there predominantly. I went back a couple of times in 2014. I went there in 2018 to take Lucas there. But I really, really enjoyed it. Like, it was such a huge part of me learning and developing that confidence, because there's a language barrier there. I just had to sometimes go in and just rely on my own ability. Sometimes going in there with talents that were just coming from their trainer school, and there was interest in me to just lead them through the match. And it was, it was a really good time. And I earned some good money from it as well. It's like I said, they took great care of us. I got to see France, and, you know, but all the times I went, I never saw the Eiffel Tower. Funny enough, I must have flown into Paris about 20 times, and we used to meet up at this. I'd get the tube from Charles de Gaulle into Paris City Centre. We'd meet at this restaurant, and then we'd all jump in the car and go to the town that was in, and it was in hotels and stuff like that from there. But great shows, great atmospheres there. Tim Wiley was over there quite often as well, so sometimes I'd have like a Brit there to just spend some time with and hang out with. And it was, I remember that particular show at the end of 2013, it was the first time they booked me as a babyface. And the crowd, the fans were just so, so adoring of me. There was one point I was leaving the ring after winning my match, and the ramp kind of set up like this, and kids like reach up to grab you. They climbed the ramp, and I fell off it. They just swarmed me. and I'm laying on this ramp, just looking up at the ceiling, all these fans like patting me and like cheering and stuff, and I just screamed at the top of my lungs, "I love my life," because it doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Stuff like that is, not many people get to say that happened in their life, and it was just awesome, man. Wrestling Stars, friends, I love you guys. I can't thank you enough for everything you did for me. If it weren't for Brexit, I'd love to be still going out there and working for them, but you know, that kind of ruined that one. So,
so to kind of wrap things up, then, like, when life's back to like normality and stuff like that, obviously you're supposed to go to Chaos to face Danny Jones, all this Battle of Brit Rest stuff. You've got quite a lot of bookings coming up. You've mentioned Miles Kamen. You've mentioned Lucas, who's just recently been out in Japan as well, with All Japan absolutely killing out there. Who else should people have an eye on?
Big Guns Joe. Joe Nelson is someone else who's now Kid Lykos 2 as well. Two guys that I think are Tom Farwell, Ethan Allen, Luke Jacobs, Darice. I say that with that, like, because he winds me up, but I think I do see something in him. I really do, and I do like him. I do get along with him. He just at times just... But yeah, he's a good lad, and I think he's got, he's already started doing stuff with NXT UK, and it's no surprise to me because he's a hard working lad, and he's got a lot of potential. There's just a few names off the top of my head that I've seen something in recently that I'm like, okay, I think going to America. I posted about him today, in fact, on my Twitter. Cam. I remember Cam, and I'm annoyed now. I've got his second name. I'm so annoyed with myself. Cam something. I'm annoyed now. Anyway,
you'll get there. When did you tweet it?
You'll get there. Today, the 25th. I quote tweeted something.
Cam Carter.
He was doing it. Cam Carter. Thank you so much. Cam Carter. I worked with him that four-way that I mentioned at PWX, and... him and Lucky, actually, and nothing. They're not taking anything away from Saeed either. Saeed was very good, but Cam really stood out to me. Like, he just does. There's some things that you just can't teach, and he has that, like, just that it factor, and I think he's got a big future ahead of him. There's a lot of talent out there that's coming through, but that's just a few names off the top of my head. From my own training school, because I feel I don't want to just plug my lads, because I obviously kind of feel I don't want to just put myself over, right? But Reese and Rogan tag team, they like tag team wrestling. The bruisers, they're just nasty, vicious. Got a lot of potential. Got a long way to go, and Reese, it took a long time to click with him. A long time. He's been training with us at NGW for quite a while, and at one point I actually didn't think he was ever... I just don't think it's for him, and then just one day it started to click with him, and he started to really piece things together, and then last year he got to do an entire summer with Mega Slam, and it helped him so much. Brad just asked me one day for some lads. Oh, hey, lad, and I sent him Reese. And next thing, Brad was so impressed with him, he offered him the entire summer. So proud of him. And, and his partner, Rogan, he loves wrestling. He really loves wrestling. He's a fan of it. He's a student of it. He loves tag team wrestling. I just think they're two lads that you should really keep an eye on. I think they're going to do good things as a tag team. They've got Kev Cash working with them. If you those who know the history of my character, and Kev worked with me from 2008 to 2013 as my manager. Kev is someone who I think is massively underrated for he's got such a good brain for wrestling, And I love the fact that he's working with them, because he'll point them in the right direction with certain things, and he just gets wrestling, man. And I think he's gonna help them go in the right direction. You know, you saw things that got JD Boom over. A lot of that stuff came from Kev's brain. He's got a really sharp brain for pro wrestling, and you know, the best thing about him is that he knows his place. Like he knew he wanted to be a manager, and he worked on that, and he's become a hell of a good manager because of it. And it's, you know, they're a dying breed, good managers. There's Vicky, there's Kev, there's Gilligan, and they're the three off the top of my head that I can think of. But yeah, Reese and Rogan be two others, like, you know, that are coming from the NGW Academy in particular, that I'd keep an eye on. And I think they've got a bright future. And little Scott Bell is a referee that we've earned up, and that guy's getting more bookings than me. He's all over the place. It helps that he's like 5 foot and a peanut, because like he makes us all like giants. But again, someone who that he came to our wrestling school, he learned to wrestle, but he knew that he wanted to referee. If you ever see him wrestle, like I always say to him when he does a training match, it's like it's a crime that you just want to be a referee because you're good at this as well. But I think that's just made him an even better referee, because he knows where to be in the right places at the right time. He knows how to sell stuff, and I really like Scott, and I love seeing, you know, his career take off the way it has done. You know, I'm really proud of him.
No, from your time in America, was Corey Hollis one of them that you became?
Corey, yeah. I mean, Corey's been around a while. That's why I didn't mention him as like a young upcomer. But Corey's fantastic. Like, I watched his main event with Harlem, and again, Harlem's fantastic. Like, two guys that are so underrated on the American independent scene. Their main event that they did at PWX for the X16 tournament, it was a masterpiece. It was they had fans on the feet because they knew the finish was happening. You know what I mean? Like, they would get there, you could feel the room boiling and ready to explode for this reaction. And that's just a credit of the promotion, for one thing, to telling a good story, and then but those two piecing that together, and you know, putting that story, just giving it the crescendo that it deserved. Like, Corey's phenomenal, man. Like, I can't say enough good words about what I think of him as a talent, particularly as a bad guy. Like, this is, you know, and I, as someone who's worked as a heel for pretty much all the career, like, I love watching other people who really take this properly. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not trying to get themselves secretly over at the same time. Like, they just want to go out and be a despicable bastard. And he's so good at that. Like, he recently did something on AEW Dark. I'm hoping it's going to lead to more stuff for him. I really am.
Hey, you managed to check that match out? It was on the 24th of March edition he was on.
That was last night, so I knew that I still need to check that out. I saw that Kip was on that, so I'll be checking it out. I mean, I try my best to follow as much of it as I can anyways, because it's one of them things that I'm like, right, if this is my ambition to go there, like, I can't just be ignorant to it and hope that I'll end up, you know, working for them. Like, I want to keep an eye on the product.
It's a fun product.
It is something different, man. It really is. And, like, and to me, that's their best thing, is that they're not trying to compete with WWE. Like, they're just trying to be them. They're just trying to be creative and do something different and offer something different. To me, that's the...
Apologies for that.
No worries. I think one of the reasons that AEW has been so successful so far is that they're very much on a creative mindset and not a competitive mindset. And I think that's if I can give anybody in life advice, that's it, man. Don't concern yourself and compete with everybody else around you. Just focus on you and being, you know, creating the best version of you, and it, you know, and believe in yourself. Have self-belief. Something I've kind of believed in and probably done my entire life without knowing is something called the law of attraction. I've been reading into that a lot recently. And I'm like, looking at AEW's product, I'm like, well, man, this is the biggest example of it to me in my life at the moment, is that, like, there's some guys that all believed in themselves, never really wanted to compete with anything, just wanted to be creative and offer something different. and the success that's come from it. You know, they're doing amazing stuff. So yeah, I'll definitely be checking out the most recent AEW Dark and the most recent AEW show. They'll actually be on tonight. So yeah, I just want to support that product as much as I can, because you know it's where, you know, I kind of want to get to. I want to get to there. I want to get to ROH. I see these places now as things that I need to set my sights on, and especially that last visit I had to America earlier this year. At the time, I was kind of before I went, I was in a real bad mindset. That was around that time I was contemplating leaving wrestling, and then but then that just kind of refreshed everything, got my mind refocused, gave myself something to strive towards and become ambitious for again. And you know, I've never been so focused on getting out there and like moving my life to the United States or to Canada. Again, like mainly being all my friends are there. Dash is there, Skylar's there, Kip's there. Like I was never shy of something to do when I was there. Like I've got so many friends there. Like Spud, I all these people that I spent time with. Jimmy, Jimmy was joking about how he needs a drinking partner out there, and you know I love a good blue moon at 10. So it's the idea of getting out there and being able to kind of like start that life out there. And the only way I can do that is, you know, at least the only way I want to do is through wrestling. You know, what the future may hold after that is you know, nobody knows at this point. I might have a toy shop, well, probably not sell any of my products and go out of business because I'll keep everything. but no, like, you know, seriously, like that's my ambition though, like is to work out there, and I'm a big supporter of what they're doing. So yeah, I'll be checking out what Corey did on the AEW Dark and checking out what Kip and Liv did. Yeah, it's a really good product, man.
Brilliant. So what I tend to do, whether I'm collaborating with somebody or I'm doing interviews, it's one more match. So with yourself, obviously, you're doing singles competition, you're doing tag team. So I'm already going to veto the Revival because I know you'll pick Dash and... I know you'll pick Dash and Dawson anyway, so that's a given. If you get a tag match, you want them to. So we're already putting that 100%. One up there. I'm stealing that one from you. So,
that was the answer. I had the answer. It's like, I know where I'm going with it.
Yep. So that's why I've already took it. I'm not going to make it easy for you. So, for yourself,
all right, okay.
What I'm going to do is I'll go through with Matt Myers, Rampage, and Lucas as well. So, who do you want to face teaming with Myers?
Teaming with Myers?
Yep.
Oh. Does that have to be currently on the BBR roster?
No, anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. Yeah. All right, okay, that makes it a little easier. I'd love to do something again with Marty Scurll. And you know, so any incarnation of the Lynn Enterprises. Marty was somebody who I always enjoyed working with. I always felt like he brought out something. He brought out the best in me. He always had... The best thing about working with Marty is that he has ideas for you as well as himself. Like, he's a very creative person. Again, probably why he's so successful. Got a creative mind, not a competitive man. And he's... So any form of him and the Villain Enterprises, I'd love to do business with. You know, if we could have, you know...
Team Sin.
Yeah, like if it was like me, any incarnation of that group, like me, Myers, and Lucas, or me, Myers, and Rampage, or, you know, against them in a six-man would be boss.
Yeah. Bro. Now, I won't get you to pick another tag team. I won't be that mean. Okay. However, for singles matches, what I'd want is if somebody from the UK that you may not have wrestled yet in a singles match, somebody from America, who are they?
From the UK, probably Will or Zack Sabre. I've not wrestled either of them in a singles. In fact, I've not wrestled Will at all. So yeah, it'd be I can't pick between those two. But it'd be one of those guys in a singles match from the UK. From America, technically not American, Canadian. Am I allowed that?
Yeah, yeah.
Jericho. Like, he's been the biggest influence on my career. I feel like I'd leave the match learning so much. And I'd ticked off like one of my biggest life's ambition to get in there and you know, tie up and do something with him. I've heard that he's quite a solid worker as well, which I've always liked. Like, I've always been, you know, similar in that approach to it. So yeah, like it, I think that'd definitely be the answer. It'd be Jericho.
Yeah. No, brilliant. All right, Nathan, thank you for coming on, mate. Been a pleasure talking to you whilst we've been stir crazy.
Well, we all need something to do, man. So this is, this is past an hour and a half of my time and your time. And so hopefully it's helped other people as well while they're at home, giving something to watch, listen to. And yeah.
Well, I'm quite surprised because obviously with how much we spoke about last year in the first one, I was like, right, this is the first interview I'm doing where I've already interviewed them, so I can't do all the generic shit. And then I know you as well, so I was like, "What? How am I going to make this last?" And then, yeah, we're nearly going an hour and a half into the recording. But
I know, right? I can talk forever.
I know. Right, mate, so just tell everybody where they can find you. Again, plug your toy stuff that you got coming up, and then...
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Nathan_Cruz90, same on Instagram as well. I've got a Facebook fan page now that I've recently started actually bothering with a bit more because I used to really bother with that. Don't add me on my private account. I get fans, even trainees, still sometimes trying to add me on that private account. It's private for a reason. I don't mean any disrespect by it. I just like to keep my private life private, and I'd ask you to respect the same, please. My YouTube channels, like I said, I've got two. There's one that's just called Nathan Cruz. You'll find a lot of my wrestling stuff on there. Like I said, there's going to be a new Chronicle video going up on that coming up pretty soon. And then there's Cruz Off Road, which is, it's got all at Christmas, me decorating my house because I'm pretty obsessed with Christmas and the Christmas decorating. I've just started my toy room series called Inside the Toy Room, which kind of gives you an insight to my collection. And I talk a lot about like the history of that toy line and whichever one that I'm talking about as well. So, yeah, check those out. Just subscribe to them, like them, share them out. Like all that support, it goes a long way, you know, to. Whilst you know these unforeseen circumstances, and we don't know what the future holds for anybody at the moment, but particularly self-employed entertainers like myself, like if I can give something for you to watch and do in your time in isolation, you know, all those views and all that, it all adds up, it all helps out, and I appreciate it. And you know, you kind of get to find out a bit more about the real me, because for so many years within my wrestling career, maybe it was that influence from France, that I was quite big on kayfabe. I showed Nathan Cruz a lot more than I showed Nathan Erwin. And now I'm kind of relaxing a bit on that and letting people find out the real me. Just because I think like I for a while there, I painted a negative perception of myself because I was pretty much constantly in character.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm trying to let people know that, you know, I'm not that much of an asshole, you know. Might still be a bit of a prick.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
No, brilliant. Thank you, Nathan. And then, yeah, guys, before I tell you where you can find myself, I'll plug the fiance since she's self-employed as well and can't do any work at the moment. Have a look at Training with Jazz. I thought I'd mention it in this one because, Nathan, you've got a love for dogs as well. So Training with Jazz on Facebook, yeah, she's doing daily training videos with our big beast, Freya. So yeah, make sure you check that out. One, if you want to teach your dog something, or two, if you're just wanting to watch videos of dogs.
Yeah, I'm going to be checking this out. I never knew about this.
Yeah, mate. It'll
be one of the first things I'll do tonight.
Yeah, I think the first one was teaching how to take her socks off. So that was the first one, and the second is like just walking like in between the legs. And are you seeing the size of her now?
Yeah. She's beautiful. The Newfoundlands are such a great breed, but yeah, she's gorgeous, man.
There you go. Once all this is sorted, you will have to come Come for a see the dog.
I need to come play with your dog. Absolutely.
So yeah, find me at Ketsangle Pod. You can also find me at Ringsiders Pod, where if you haven't already, make sure you check out Nathan's interview from last year, where it talks about his journey that he kind of spoke about regarding WWE, how he came through the industry, the battles with mental health, and how he's come out on the other side. And yeah, you can find me at KateJohansson93. Unlike Nathan, I don't mind if you add me, because he's just complained about people adding his real account, then gives his shoot name.
Yeah, no, I shouldn't have done that, right?
No, you should.
I buried myself.
You have.
Oh, God.
Right, Nathan, take care, mate, and all the best.
All right, take care, Kurt. Thanks very much, pal.
Bye.